Hey, go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and download your free audiobook now. Audible has more than 75,000 titles to choose from. It's like the Library of Congress, only better. And guess what? They play on all kinds of devices. Computers, MP3 players, iPods, iPhones, and yes, even the Zune. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and download your free audiobook today. Do it for us, please.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From parts unknown, I'm 70s pop star Jack Baruth.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 33, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like the painful intro to a mediocre podcast, we dare you to fast forward. We make you cringe with one tortured metaphor after another and a laundry list of confusing inside jokes. Overcomplicating things even more, we assault your ears with a fusillade of bad puns and vague double entendre. Dragging things out way longer than necessary, we taunt you with pointless verbosity and confuse new listeners with talk of a cohesive, zen-like theme. Whoever's still listening after the open, well, they're sure to unsubscribe after the first round of catheter innuendo.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow, Ben, you are... last week you were on... You're hot this week, too.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Did he drink coffee today?
Yeah. I think that's the new secret.
He's keeping his blood sugar in check, I think.
Roaster Jack. It's our favorite.
No, he's diabetic. He's diabetic. So anyway, here we are, roundabout episode, let me look, 33. We've got the usual cast here. Jeffrey Ross, what's up?
Not much.
Enjoying married life?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots of benefits, right?
Like cleaning the bathroom and mowing the lawn.
And taking care of those twin babies.
Just one dog.
Oh. Well, they're next. And, of course, Eric Tritko in the studio live right now. Eric, greetings.
And salutations.
Yes. Glad you could make it again.
Yeah, by the skin of my teeth.
You're a little late this week. You're usually in a bit earlier, but we're glad you could made it.
Doing things for my third job, so, you know.
Ooh, keeping you busy.
Yep.
And, of course, joining us over Skype, we cannot forget about Michelle Naranjo out in Long Beach. Michelle.
You said that like Zach's not here.
He's next.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for sticking up for me. I appreciate
it. No, I thought he forgot about you.
Oh, he would. He would. He'd just leave me out here in the dark all alone.
In Knoxville.
And then call you James or something like that.
But, Michelle, thank you again, per usual.
No, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. We try here at Roundabout. We really do. Cool. Zach, Knoxville, glad
yes,
to make it.
Greg. Livonia.
It's a new thing, saying the person's name and then where they are presently.
It's a thing.
So, Ben, denial. And lastly, we've got a roundabout first-timer joining us as well. We have Jack Baruth on the line from speedsportlife.com, in that order, I presume. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I was told I could do a plug. Is that true?
Yes. Please plug
away. Is it a two-prong plug or a three-prong plug?
Let me tell you how big the prong on this plug is.
I like to equate. Did Michelle convince you to come on here in exchange for sexual favors? Is that how she convinced you?
No. What happened was I offered to pay her for sexual favors, and she said, for that same money, you could get on the Roundabout show.
Well, for pennies on the dollar, right?
Pennies on the dollar.
Oh, God. Well, before we take an even more unfortunate turn, right off the bat here, plug away. Roundabout is a leaky boat. Plug it. I haven't been dry in a long time.
I'm actually here to announce that I've taken a position as demonstration driver and all-around good guy for Schweitzer Performance in Oberlin, Ohio. And on the dyno downstairs, we've got our first 911 horsepower Porsche 997. And I will be demonstrating that car to interested customers or riders on racetracks around America. We run less than 10 seconds in the quarter mile, and I've personally timed the car 0 to 170 miles an hour in 14 seconds. So
is that
I'll
good?
Be demoing that car. It is pretty good. It's better than a Veyron. So we'll be demoing those cars around, and for the low, low price of $39,000 or thereabouts, we'll do the same thing to your 997 Turbo.
So for less than the cost of a set of wheels and tires for a Veyron every 5,000 miles, you can get your 911/997 upgraded.
Absolutely, and we've got these things running around racetracks, and I'm here basically to put the car on the racetrack and show people what it can do. So
you know
I'm
how to drive.
Super excited about this so-called job. Yeah,
he likes to think he knows how to drive, Craig.
But not better than CRV drivers, though.
You know what? I will tell you this. Not only have Mr. Ronho and I have had a personal experience with CRV drivers, I have to drive my Boxster 108 miles each way to get to the shop here in Oberlin. And every morning I find myself making multiple car passes on stacks of CRVs. It's disgusting.
So Jack and you share a similar commute distance, Craig.
Well, I drive 100 miles a day round trip.
You sure about that?
Well, I don't know. Are you going 108 miles one way? Is that?
Yeah, 108 miles one way. Of course, you know.
It only takes him 45 minutes, though.
Because he's got a Porsche. I drive a Ford Focus.
Well, everything I drive on this commute will do a buck 70, so we're fine. It doesn't take me all that long.
Except for you're in Ohio, and you have all the Ohio drivers in front of you.
And the cops.
Well, this yesterday morning, I was able to break a buck 30 while making a 12-car pass on the double yellow. So, it's nice to have big power to do that kind of stuff, and it makes it safe, totally safe, and everybody should do it. I was texting at the time as well.
And probably reading Wikipedia.
Actually, that's not true. I was sexting, which is something the kids do now, and I can explain it to you after the show's over.
I'm sure Michelle knows all about that already.
If she looks at her phone, she'll find out.
He's offered to explain it to me, but
Explain? Why would he explain when he can show?
I've offered to send pictures, yeah. That's why I didn't want to use my web. I thought we were going to have to use a webcam for this tonight, and I went and turned mine on. It had an image ghosted into the receptor that I just didn't want to share with you guys. So I'm glad we're audio only.
Thank you.
Chat roulette.
Yeah. Chat roulette. But, driving 130 on your commute to work, that could be dangerous. You could, potentially die if something went wrong, which is convenient because that fits in nicely with our theme. That's called a segue, Eric.
Life after death, yes.
Very good. Yes, our theme this week is life after death. We've got just a wonderful lineup of stories this week, involving the hereafter and other aspects of passing away. Eric, you have our first story on the list. It comes courtesy of Autoblog. And this one is kind of creepy. I, frankly, was opposed to having this on the rundown. But why don't you tell us a little about this and why it's so off-putting? Kind of like that guy that sits in the van next to the playground.
Yeah.
But worse.
So apparently, funerals in Puerto Rico tend to be a little bit different than funerals in the Continuous 48, or the contiguous 48, as it were, because apparently this is not unusual, which is, I think, even more frightening, that instead of having you laid out in a coffin for a viewing, you're posed like a mannequin, and in this case, this gentleman who died was posed on his CBR 600 RR motorcycle at a funeral home in semi-race tuck position, and probably how he died is appropriate here because his helmet is on in the passenger's area, not on his head.
Didn't he die in a shooting?
Actually he did. I was
shot
just being,
to death.
He was elaborating.
Helmet wouldn't help if he gets shot in the chest.
I don't know. They say lives.
I'm just commenting on things I see in states where helmets aren't required is that you'll see a helmet on the passenger seat strapped down, but not on the rider's head. So
that's just in case you pick up a girl.
Keeping the seat warm.
No, so she can wear a helmet.
Oh.
Because girls don't like their hair messed up, so they make them wear a helmet.
Or yes, if you're picking up Craig too, Zach.
See?
I'm cheap. But the creepiest thing about it, they've got this guy on the bike, and he just, it's off-putting to say the least. I mean, he's just like some Madame Tussauds wax figure or something.
Jeff, well, this upset you because you were imagining what the mortician must have had to.
Yeah, it's just picturing how they get a person's dead body to pose like this. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they have like metal braces going on his back, it looks like, and then super glue for his hands. I don't know. I don't think I want to know.
You'd be a friend of mine was at a tech conference, and in a room right by theirs was the mortician's conference.
Awesome.
Yeah, it says it was quite interesting because he sort of poked in just out of curiosity, and they were talking about the wonderful uses of Bondo.
Bondo can be used in everything. Wow. We used to use it as I was a trim carpenter for about 4 years. We used to use Bondo all the time.
Well, in this really application, I think Seal-All would be a better choice.
It's pretty – well, you know, the shop that did this – the funeral home that did this.
Galpin
supposedly
Auto
has done stuff like this.
Funerals.
Has supposedly done stuff like this in the past, only like more extreme. Like they just made a guy stand up and they left him there for 3 days for his wake.
That was more disturbing, was hearing that this is not – an unusual occurrence. This is a semi-regular occurrence that these things happen.
I've got a question, and maybe you guys can help me answer this. But if you've got a guy standing for 3 days, does he need like a drip pan or a drip tray? He's gonna just, you know, naturally start leaking, I would imagine.
No, because they've sucked all the
juices,
human fluid out of you, and pumped you full of preservatives.
Kind of like Michelle. Michelle,
you stuffed your ex-husband and put him in the corner. What do you?
I thought she sucked juices.
Yeah, I put baby in the corner.
I thought she froze him in carbonite.
He should be quite well preserved. He's surviving the freezing process.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
I know all about Star Wars, Eric. Don't even test me.
So Mud Monster keeps insisting in the chat room that he doesn't see anything wrong with this, but I want to remind everyone that this is the guy sitting there in a tinfoil hat.
This just backs up why I want to be cremated. You know, you can't arrange a pile of ashes in a creepy manner, you know?
Oh,
you can't.
That
do
sounds like a challenge,
things.
Zach.
No,
I agree
dead.
With you, Zach. I actually knew this guy that had on his will, he took a red magic marker and wrote across the will in great big letters, "Burn me." He didn't want there to be any mistake that he was going to be cremated.
I'm also on the cremation part, but I would like my ashes to be scattered in certain corners of certain racetracks across the world.
Yeah, I'm going to be dead. I'm not going to care.
Put me in a hefty bag and throw me in the trash. I don't care.
Pretty much.
Dump you in the Detroit River.
I've asked to be posed with my Kate Winslet model real doll.
Oh, God.
And well, we've reached new lows on the show.
Indeed.
Congratulations.
That is not, a new low for the show, let's be honest.
No.
I would call that a solid par. Maybe one under par. I don't know.
That's better than Tiger Woods this week.
Michelle, on a much less creepy note, you've got a story here that involves sort of life after death, if you will. They've managed to bring something back, revive it.
Well, you know, I am an art school graduate, and my father always sort of made fun of me. Well, he still does. About, you know, going to school to get my underwater basket weaving degree. And
so
honestly,
do you find that a useful degree now that you work with auto cars and stuff? I mean,
well, you know, in this case, for this story, it would have come in really handy because a couple of artists took leftover scraps from the automotive. They're mostly textiles. And they recycled an old MG midget into an art piece. And it has a woven shell now.
It's for sale on Etsy.
Really more of a husk, really, don't you think?
Yeah, it is more of a husk. Etsy. I wouldn't call it husk. I wouldn't call it husky, though.
No, it's quite lithe, I would say.
I have no major objection to this thing other than the Fisher-Price windshield frame and then the...
Corian branding and DuPont branding on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit odd, isn't it?
That's very art elite to brand yourself with major corporations.
Well, to me, it's very half-assed. I mean, like, everything from the rear is good. Okay, it looks like the car. And then it looks like they got to where the A-pillar would be, and they're like, and just went with whatever they felt like, you know. They didn't even finish the front, you know. It's got like sort of a Miata hood instead of an MG hood. I don't know what's going on here.
They went with the old VW Mannix kind of dune buggy look.
Just saying, if you're gonna do it,
speed buggy.
Come on, speed.
I'd expect Care Bears to drive this.
So, Jack, anybody have you ever raced anything like this? Any vehicles made out of fabric before?
Kind of. I owned a Superformance S1, which is their Lotus 7 clone, and the fenders were known to fall off during track days.
Fall off?
Yeah, as in fall off. And then the frame broke and put the rear wheels in interference fit with the bodywork. But for the 200 miles where it wasn't overheating, catching on fire, blowing fuses, or actively endangering my life, it was probably the worst 7 clone money can buy.
Wait, were you racing
so
Zacks International?
It was an accurate representation of a Lotus 7, is what you're saying.
Well, it was designed to make the Lotus 7 look good. They overdid the unreliability.
It was no Westfield Megaboosa, is what you're saying.
I would have killed for a Westfield Megaboosa. This thing had an old 2-liter Z-Tech in it.
What's wrong with the Z-Tech? Hey.
Well. When your first dyno pull is 103 horsepower, you'll know the answer to that question.
So you had the 1.6?
That was a 2-liter. It's just, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about Superformance because it was one of those things. It was such a horrible experience. I can't believe that they would let it happen to anybody else. So that's what I want to believe. I was going to say, I think this fabric and Corian MG is probably heavier than the original, even without the British Leyland late 70s rubber bumpers.
It's a good possibility.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, that seatbelt stuff is. I'm guessing that seatbelt material that it's woven out of, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yep.
What is it, Michelle? You're the art major.
Yeah, you know, there's a company that makes handbags out of the seatbelt materials.
Based here in Knoxville. How about that?
Okay, can I tell you something? I thought that would be the coolest person in the world to have. And have you ever picked one up? They weigh a ton.
I can imagine so.
Yeah, they're really heavy. They're totally impractical. I do have a bag, like a big tote bag that's made out of recycled inner tubes. But...
So that's how you get pineapple calves, Ben, lugging that around.
Yep. That's right, Craig.
That's right.
I want to get Amanda a purse made out of license plates.
That'd be cool.
I've had one of those, too. Those are harsh. You swing around and you hit a little kid in the face, they're gone.
Did you have the cigar box purse, Michelle?
Of course I did.
The better question, Eric, is did you?
Wasn't there some guy in England that makes purses out of, like, candy wrappers or something? Or am I just imagining things
I don't
again?
Spend that much time on Etsy, Craig, unlike you.
Craig
doesn't know what Etsy is.
They're made in third world countries, and they take, like, plastic candy wrappers, and they weave them together, and they're very intricate, and they sell on these, you know, on these catalogs for, like, $14.95 because they're making 30 cents a bag.
That's a pretty sweet purse.
As a side note, I did order a hat that's made out of...
Yeah, we got it, Craig.
I did order a hat that's made out of old tarps from Brazil.
Did you order that?
Yeah, I ordered that. Yeah.
Cool.
I'll put the link in the chat room so people.
Please do. Well, continuing our life after death theme, I've got our next story here, and you know, sometimes when you've got something that's dead, you may as well just give up at some point. And that is what Chrysler should probably do, because there's a story we've got here on the Detroit Free Press, that's freep.com, or Ben, you'll also be able to find the link in the show notes on our website, roundaboutshow.com, right?
Oh, I think that is right, Craig.
Good idea me.
That's interesting.
Anyway, back on topic, there's a rumor that Chrysler is, well, it's not a rumor, but Chrysler is redoing the Sebring and the Avenger cars because, well, they kind of suck, right? So they're going to, the rumor is they're going to rename the Sebring. They're going to call it the Nassau, which was a concept car they had a few years ago. And I guess they're since the Sebring is so tarnished, we're going to try to, you know, rename it. I don't know. Do you guys think that's going to do anything for Chrysler? Are consumers going to see through this ruse? Eric?
I've never understood this way. Like, I don't think you can replace a name and make it a car better, but I think you can replace a name and make a car worse. Like, I mean, when Lincoln got rid of the Continental name and then came out with MKS or whatever, I think that can ruin a nameplate. I don't think changing it a little bit and then giving it a new name really helps.
Yeah. Plus, NASA is kind of a crappy name, maybe.
It's a really crappy name. I mean, right, because Ford also did, like, they did Taurus, and then they did 500, and then they did Taurus again, right? Because they kind of figured out it didn't work so well. And NASA is it's like calling a car Budapest or something.
So would this be considered a brandzition?
Yeah. This would be not a brandzition. This would be a brand fail.
Jack, what's your stance on Chrysler and Nassau?
I think that they now have a little bit of marketing money and a little bit of help that they didn't have before. And the only real reason to rename the car is so you can try to put the car back out in front of people who haven't seen it before. You know, I've driven a Sebring and an Avenger a couple times, and I'm not convinced they're materially worse than a Corolla or anything else that shares an actual transaction price with the Sebring Nassau Avenger. So I think another thing they can do is if they can kind of wean themselves off the rental car teat, then a nice way to indicate that they've left rental cars is to call this car the Nassau. It's good for resale because you're not on eBay looking for Chrysler Sebring and you see that last year's car is $4,000.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I mean, it's pretty cynical, but God knows, you know, this is a cynical industry.
Yeah. And come on, we're all pulling for Chrysler. We don't want to see them go out of business, do we? I mean, they need to get back in the game. They're a strong American company. Hate to see them.
Oh, hi, the dogs are here.
Michelle, are you dog fighting again?
At least somebody's responding to Craig's bait right there.
I have a house guest right now. Michael Vick's staying with me.
Michelle Vick. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
I thought it was Kobe Bryant you had over Michelle.
No, that was the other weekend.
Michelle gets around. Goodness.
She's a mover and a shaker.
Mostly a shaker.
Well, I was nervous about calling strangers.
Oh, my God.
Well, these strangers, they quickly became my friends.
I was devastated. Right, Michelle?
Devastated.
All right. So, Chrysler, NASA, something about that. Zach, you've got our next story. Sometimes you can have a successful resuscitation. You get your carcass to the hospital and they're able to jumpstart you. What have you got going on here?
Well, sometimes it happens without brain damage. You're okay. This woman in Brooklyn had her Honda Accord, a 96 Honda Accord, stolen from her 3 years ago. And, of course, a Honda Accord stolen in New York, you know, the cops aren't exactly going to be beating the bushes looking for it because there are thousands of other stolen Honda Accords in New York. So recently the cops were breaking down a chop shop and happened to find an Accord there. They ran the VIN. Turned out it was hers. Only the thing is, the owner who had it for the last 3 years had done quite a bit of work to it. Had completely swapped the engine.
It says they put a brand new V8 under the hood. I find that a little hard to believe, considering it's four exhaust pipes.
That's because that's not true. It's got
another four in the back.
I'm assuming that's an H22 VTEC that she's got in there.
It's Honda's new VTEC V8.
And converted to a 5-speed manual transmission, you know, redid the body, put on nice Honda wheels, all this business. And the real irony here is that, like our fan Luke, cannot drive stick shift, this woman. So she's going to have to learn to drive her old new car.
but it's old and it's new. It's the best of both. It's like icy hot.
That's what I was thinking.
You enjoy icy hot? Shall we talk about this?
I've never actually used icy hot, but it's a nice.
If Shaq likes it, why wouldn't Craig like it?
Yeah, let me
There's
tell you.
There's a lot of
not...
overlap in that Venn diagram.
Let me
that
tell you,
is
what's
a
not
new low
icy hot. That Amanda Pogani is not icy hot. If you look at the, she actually looks a lot like Shaq.
A fair-skinned Shaq with a
huskier
face.
I thought she looked
face.
Like the guy from The Mask.
Oh, so freaking wrong.
That was Eric Stoltz.
It was Eric Stoltz. I think actually she looks like, what's his name, the guy who was in Alien Resurrection and the old Beauty and the Beast movie, Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yeah.
Is a dead ringer for Ron Perlman.
Jack, you are going to hell for making fun of a person with Down syndrome. That is not funny. Very inappropriate. Oh my god! So this story sounds almost too ridiculous to be true. Have any of you guys heard of something like this happening before? To like get your car back after being stolen, and it's better than when you lost it.
I think there's been stories recently where someone gets a classic car stolen, 30 years ago, and then it pops up completely restored.
They got overhauled. No.
No, not that.
No, I think I heard a similar story. It was with a VW bus.
Yeah, I think that's...
It was a crappy bus that got stolen out of his driveway like 10 years ago, and someone was trying to export the van to Europe for whatever reason and got caught in customs because it came up that it was stolen and the thing had been completely restored.
Didn't we, in a show like 20 episodes ago, didn't we have one where a guy had like some Corvette from the 60s or early 70s that happened to as well?
I can't remember.
He got taken out of his
I can't remember yesterday, let alone
That was a really early episode. There was the guy in the LA port that they were getting ready to ship his car abroad. But he had the car stolen like 25 years ago. No, it was a motorcycle. That's what it was. It was getting ready to get shipped abroad, and they checked something on it and ran it through the records and found out that it had been stolen 25 years ago. And so the guy got his motorcycle back after a huge amount of time.
But how does that work? I mean, if the insurance is already paid out for it, doesn't it just become the insurance company's van or motorcycle or car or whatever?
Probably. Unless they didn't file a claim, which I'm sure this girl did. And if she's getting her car back.
Yeah.
See, I think there's. I'm going to make a case for a new segment on the show, and it's the Hardly Boys, and it's going to be Zach and Jeff.
Got a raging
and they
clue.
Investigate crime, car crime. Find missing orange. They can discover every orange BMW in the country.
I'm okay with that as long as we get the theme to Unsolved Mysteries as our theme.
Who was the guy that did the voice for that, Ben?
I have no idea, Craig.
He was some guy. He was
wasn't it the price line?
Oh, Robert Stack. You're right. I do remember he was a guy.
I'm going
no,
to
Robert Stack. He was Elliot Ness.
He was an airplane. He's in the control tower, the air traffic control.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, Elliot Ness. The Untouchables. The original Untouchables.
How did Craig just know that, though?
Craig gets around, Michelle. Craig knows his stuff.
That is not true.
Ouch, Zach.
Not true
like,
at all.
Like, ouch. But anyway.
Speaking of VW buses.
Speaking of death, Jeff, you've got our next story.
Yes, I do.
What can you? What's going on here? Something about a VW bug and something about Dr. Dan?
No, not a bug.
Not a bug.
Not a bug. You're right. I'm sorry. It's been a long week.
The squiggly one is an S. It makes a sound. Sound it out, Craig.
Oh, a little congestion there. I'm sorry. Whew. Sorry,
anyway,
Jeff.
Dr. Kevorkian's VW bus that he killed 130 people in, I mean, euthanized 130 people in, was recently pulled from eBay's auction listing because it's called Murderabilia. I didn't know that was a word.
Found it out.
Murderabilia.
Very good.
Murderabilia.
It's Albanian, I think. The three. No, anyway, so they pulled it because they don't like gruesome things being sold on there, and I guess they consider it gruesome when that many people died in a van, which I think is a great way to go.
You know what's hilarious about this story? The byline. The byline.
That is funny.
No takers? Nothing?
I guess.
Sorry.
Why is that funny?
Because you wrote it, Zach.
It's one of a blue f***ing million posts I've written this month.
Beep. How many things do you post on Autoblog a day, Zach? On average.
I shoot for 10. I usually make about 8.
And then you...
I was looking at the Detroit News version.
The real source.
I go straight to the source. I don't mess around with the
middleman. If you'd written on Autoblog, you would know that he didn't kill 130 people in the van. He rumored to have killed 130 people total, and only a portion of them were killed in the van.
Yeah.
So
shabam.
Well, yeah, I got it wrong. That's what it says at the bottom too.
So which was the real suicide machine? Trying to drive a VW bus or the equipment in the back?
I'm gonna go with the bus. There's a story around here. There's a local junkyard right across the hill, and evidently there were these two brothers who had a VW van, and they went to pick up an extra engine, put it in the back of the van, came around a corner, the engine came loose from the back of the van, rolled the van over and decapitated the two brothers.
Oof.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty messy.
I don't know if you'll remember this one. There was actually a band from this area in Detroit called Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines.
Nice.
And they actually ended up changing their name to Suicide Machines, but actually are pretty good.
I used to eat at the Mr. B's, which is – it used to be where his apartment was.
Cool.
It's right there on Main Street in Royal Oak.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the movie yet? The HBO
I heard
that's crazy
Jack.
They're making a movie.
Yeah, Al Pacino
it's
was
already
Jack
out. It's very good, actually.
That's what I heard. It was really good.
Jack, you've been awfully quiet. What's your stance on assisted suicide?
We're not here to judge.
But we like to.
I was just going to say, eBay refused to sell one of my VW Phaetons because I'd molested somebody's wife in the back seat.
Was it Michelle Naranjo back when she was married? When she was a Mrs.?
I wasn't lucky enough to know her. I was going after a lower quality trade back then. I hadn't decided to stalk internet journalists at that point.
Wait, yeah, journalist?
I'm not a journalist.
Hold on.
Exactly.
Hold
yeah,
on. That means
don't
credibility.
Don't push it. Jack, that...
So there's someone other than Michelle, is what you're saying.
Oh, well, do you want me to name names? I mean, how many people listen to this thing?
Half dozen at most.
Probably like 3, maybe 4.
Zach, be realistic. Half dozen.
There's 17 on right now. Well, there's, you know, 9 of us on podcast right now.
We're running out of bandwidth, Ben.
I mean, eBay's rules about this kind of stuff are very strange. My former brother-in-law is completely obsessed with... Nazi memorabilia, and he has couples.
Can I get a Craig ding 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 for that?
He has
Eric had to rush back into the studio. Nazis.
He's got his armband on too. Eric, what's that over there?
He has a mannequin in his house. Well, I think he's now that he's had two babies, I think he's kind of put him away because he was scary looking. But he used to have a mannequin in his house with was wearing an SS uniform, and he bought it on eBay. And then he was really mad because at one point eBay said they came up with all these rules. You can't buy, you know, endangered species, you know, anything like tortoise shell.
I want an ocelot pelt.
Right. And they said you can't buy anything Nazi related that is an actual, you know, because it's considered murderabilia. And it's also hate crime related. And they're just trying to protect their own butts, I think.
I hate it when people restrict things related to hate crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You really fettered that one up, Ben.
I missed that.
Fetter cheese. Anyway, before we drag this out any longer, Jack, you have the last story in the news portion of our show today.
Yes, I have the last story, and... this is about no life after death, unfortunately, probably for a Mercury Sable AIV. And what happened here is Ford apparently during their kind of cash flush tech frenzy of the 90s, built.
That would be the Jack about, Nassel era.
Yes.
Tech orgy, maybe.
Yeah. About the time they bought Jaguar. They built these aluminum intensive sables. So it's a sable with 300 something pounds of weight cut out of it. And a couple of them had the Yamaha quad cam V6 in them.
Mm. Awesome engine.
And Autoblog says something I think is funny. That the AIV is not known to many Americans despite being campaigned in the One Lap of America. I mean, who gives a crap about the One Lap of America? I ran it twice and won a class, and I don't think anybody's ever remembered that. But anyway. So
you're
so
not bitter.
Yeah, I'm not bitter.
Yeah, and by the way, he wants someone to edit his Wikipedia for him. Could someone do that, please?
I really need those movies to be taken out of it. I was young. I didn't know what I was doing.
And you needed the money.
Was that you with Chelsea Handler in that movie?
I didn't need the money. Anyway, so these aluminum sables, somebody's turned up at one, and it's kind of sad, actually. Not to get too spiritual on you guys, but I'm a big Ford fan, and I'm sure Mr. Ronho and I will talk about that ride we had in a Fiesta. But
oh, that was quite the ride, I heard.
Quite the ride. Anyway.
Enough.
Lots of room in the hatch when you fold the seats down, I understand.
You understand, it is not funny to sit there and use a female journalist as a sex object.
But she's not a journalist.
As hot as Michelle Naranjo. She can do things besides the girl stuff, She does the boys. Wait a minute, I've said too much. Anyway, back to the sable. What upsets me about it is that the Ford of the 90s was really a Ford that did things in-house, that took risks, that was engineering-oriented. And the current Taurus is a great car, and a lot of fascinating things have been done with it, but it's not an all-American car. It's not developed from scratch. It doesn't represent the same kind of technological optimism that we got with aluminum sables. I mean, here we are. We're 16 years past this, and why don't we have – not only do we not have flying cars, not only do we not have aluminum sables, we don't have any sables. So,
yeah. Well, when was the first Audi V8 the all aluminum? I mean, granted, that is a production car. This is just a
cut. The original V8 was not an all aluminum car, but the space frame Audi A8 I think debuted in '94.
Okay.
Somebody want to check the? I mean, I'm sure one of our chatters will know that when the A8, the all aluminum A8 came out, the so called D1 A8. But Ford was right there. Engineering along with Audi and thinking about this stuff. So it's kind of sad to see that, I don't know, maybe with the twin cam timing or the TIVCT and things like that, maybe we'll see, we're seeing Ford get back on its own horse of tech. But
that's true. But that's nothing groundbreaking or new. They've branded it TIVCT and it's nothing.
I think it's new. I think it's new in the segment. It's new, and it's new when you look at what you get for that money. But it's not. You look at. I don't know. If you guys go to the article and look at this sable, it even looks cool. It even looks vaguely spacey. It's got SHO wheels on it, and just to look at the shape of the car reminds me too that those old Taurus and sables were pretty daring efforts. And I'm sad to see that era gone. I'm sad to see the era of the wildly optimistic. All-American project car disappear.
Absolutely. Because
they won't come back.
They designed that whole architecture, the whole platform in-house. I mean, that was done right in Dearborn, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they said that this aluminum car is mostly engineered in Canada, but that's, it's a long way away from that to the one Ford era, and Michelle and I heard at the Fiesta thing, we engineered the unibody globally, we did this and that globally, and that's super cool, but not as cool as a bunch of guys sitting around thinking, can we make this thing out of aluminum? Nobody's done it yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it, now I may be wrong on this, but the Taurus went out of production, what was it, 2007 was the quote last year for the car, and then they had the 500 pick up the slack. Until that point, wasn't the car on the same platform it was in 1986 when it first debuted? Wasn't it the same architecture?
No, not at all. The 1996 Taurus was a completely revised car from the ground up. Not, I mean, hardly a nut or bolt shared. And the whole tragic story of that is told in a book called Car by Mary Walton.
Okay. Because I thought that the basic architecture was the same. Obviously, they restyled the vehicle, but radically restyled. But I thought the architecture was the same.
The only thing that came over was the 3-liter Vulcan V6.
That's
and the transmission. But that car, ironically, what killed that car was Ford thought that the midsize market was going to keep going up. Mark, I was selling Fords when that car came out. The car came out, it was $20,000. I bought one immediately. It was the best $20,000 car money could buy. And the Toyota Camry 4-cylinder was the best $15,995 car money could buy. And that just
make
about
the difference.
Tells the tale, yeah.
I mean, like the 96 to 99 Taurus, a lot of people don't like them, but I actually think they're a pretty sharp car, even today. Radical, yes, but whatever.
Yeah, you won't see, and that's the thing, you won't see another. That car had aesthetic innovations. It had, the Taurus had a round piece of rear glass. You won't see an American manufacturer take risks like that again, because that market now, I mean, the people who are taking that risk now are Hyundai. And even Hyundai, I mean, that new Sonata, it's clearly a ripoff of the CLS, so what's the point? But at least it doesn't look exactly like the old Sonata, which looked exactly like the Camry and Accord.
Well, Jack, if you like it, my neighbor across the street, she's like an 84-year-old woman. She's selling hers. It's about 9 years old. It might have 30,000 miles on it. It's very clean. Get you a good deal on it.
What, Taurus?
Yeah, I got traumatic memories of mine.
Yeah. So let's hope, you know, for history's sake, they don't end up crushing this aluminum-bodied Mercury Sable with, again, the original show V6, although I think it said they had the 3.2 liter, which was the larger version they had with the second-gen SHO. With the automatic transmission, but I digress.
I bet you nobody really knows. So
yeah, God, I'd love to have one of these cars in my this car in my collection just to have. But it's probably going to get turned into pop cans now. What?
You have a collection?
In his head, Michelle.
It would be my collection if I had more than one car. But anyway.
Now that we've insulted Craig.
And now that we've hurt my feelings again.
It's Michelle, not hard.
You've got such sharp claws, Michelle.
Oh, good. Ben didn't have his finger on that button for the cougar sound.
I tee it up for you, Ben. And nothing.
He's drinking coffee.
Oh, God.
Drinking coffee and snorting cocaine off of Craig's ass. That's what's going on over there.
Wow.
That's some stank.
We were
cocaine.
Not on the Fiesta launch, Zach. Thank you very much. But anyway, now it's time for a very important message. I'm pleased to announce that we finally have a sponsor for the show. I'd like to talk a little bit about Audible.com.
Wait, haven't we had plenty of sponsors? I remember Quicksilver Motor Oil and
the streaky windshield wipers.
Yeah. I don't understand. What do you mean for
sponsors? The difference is we had to pay them in order to talk about them.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. We had
sakes.
Ads before?
Michelle, have you been here for the last 33 weeks? Just checking. I mean,
that is such a long time.
You're never going to get that time back, Zach.
Oh, I know it. I know
it's gone
it.
Forever. But anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted.
Oh, yeah.
If we I'd like to talk a little about Audible.com. If you listen to any of Leo Laporte's podcasts, you already know all about this. Audible is a great place to download audiobooks if you're not familiar. And I'm inviting you to sign up for a free 14-day trial at their website. We need you to go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. And you can sign up for a free 14-day trial there. Did I say it was free? Did I emphasize free?
F-R-E-E, Craig?
Free.
Free as in beer.
I did it.
Facebook me.
Facebook me.
That was the Japanese Facebook.
A Facebooker me. Anyway, back to the commercial. They have all kinds of books. Fiction, nonfiction, mysteries, classic, kids' books, comedy, romance, if you're into that sort of thing, business, and more. So I invite you, again, to sign up for a free 14-day trial and download your very own free audiobook.
Now, audiobooks might sound boring.
But
right?
Believe me, they are not.
If you like podcasts, if you can sit through 33 weeks of the Roundabout Show.
Which amounts to about 9 times as long since the show is now very short.
I'm just saying. Thanks for that rousing.
It was much better in my head.
I saw it.
Which is much longer because this is not very short.
I can see it in my mind. It's beautiful.
God. So anyway, I invite you, we all invite you really, to sign up for a free 14-day trial and download your very own free audiobook. Again, the URL is audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, and we thank them for their support. Now, Eric, I understand that you are a ravenous audiobook listener, and you have a pick of the week for us to share, a book that you like, that you put your stamp of – your Tritco stamp of approval on. Yeah, what have you got?
I have I downloaded this some time ago from Audible, and it's a very good book. It is Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain.
He has that show on the Travel Channel.
Yep, no reservations. Yep, and this is a book he wrote about 10 years ago originally. He's one or two revisions to it since, but it was written sort of as he was becoming more well known in New York at Layal, which is a restaurant that he was the head chef at, and I think he still consults to them now. But basically it talks about – it's autobiographical about how he came up through the business. It talks about the restaurant industry and the type of people who tend to work in it and the things you want to know about working it, about what happens at a restaurant, a lot of things you probably would rather not know about what goes on in a restaurant. But it's also not only is it very entertaining, it's also informative because it gives you he'll tell you what are the nights that you should go to a restaurant and what are the nights you should not go to a restaurant.
How long has the bread been sitting out or something?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
or worse.
If you want a good meal, you don't go out on Saturday night. And there's also things too, like if you consider yourself a foodie, would like to learn how to cook better. There are a lot of very helpful tips through there about cooking, about what are good equipment to buy, what isn't, what's wasting your money, what's not. So it's really good. Anthony Bourdain reads it himself, and I highly recommend. It's about 9 hours long, so you're not sticking to the man too much there.
Yeah,
but it's still a really good. It might be longer than 9 hours, but it's a great read or a great listen.
Shall we play a sample?
Say again? Oh, please do.
I'm sorry?
Of course, there's every possibility this book could finish me in the business. There will be horror stories. Heavy drinking, drugs, screwing in the dry goods area, unappetizing revelations about bad food handling, and unsavory industry-wide practices.
I heard that!
Talking about why you probably shouldn't order fish on a Monday, why those who favor well-done get the scrapings from the bottom of the barrel, and why seafood frittata is not a wise brunch selection won't make me any more popular with potential future employers.
So, pretty good.
Good stuff.
And sounds Ben, seedy as a typical episode of the Roundabout Show.
So good, very appropriate choice of book, Eric. Why did I almost call you Ben?
I don't know.
Craig, don't even eat food.
I eat paper mache, Michelle. That's why I don't have to worry about stuff.
Look,
like
because I was running late today, and I didn't know how long these guys had been since they had a chance to get out of the office. I brought food for them, and Ben's like, "Well, thank you," and Craig's like, "Oh, it's fast food. I don't eat fast food.
I haven't in 5 years."
Eric.
Did he succumb to your
why?
Oh, hell no. Hell no, he won't go.
I'm sorry, Eric. Will you forgive me for transgression?
Probably.
Hey, we've got an ad here.
Hey!
So, our pick of the week, Kitchen Confidential, Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly, a $21 value, yours, free.
F-R-E-E.
If you just go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
What was that URL, Ben?
I believe it was audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
Terrific.
Get your free book today.
And we thank them for their support.
Indeed we do.
Anyway, it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week we've got a story, well, it comes courtesy of Jalopnik, and it's all about hatred and racism. Eric, why don't you tell us a little about this?
Oh, sorry. Not that you're stereotyping or anything.
Well, you have that other podcast you do about the Grand Wizard cast or something.
I think that's Dungeons and Dragons, Craig.
I'm confusing it then. I'm sorry. So what have we got in the blind spot this week?
Well, this must be the cousin of the person from Louisiana who had the truck with we talked about a few shows ago that had the bumper sticker about picking cotton.
Yeah, that was we talked about that.
Yeah, so apparently this must be his cousin or something because not only does he have a rebel flag covering his one of those see through things for your windows.
The back window. He's on a pickup truck.
Yeah, right? This is on a pickup truck. Well, not that we're stereotyping there either. But yeah, he's got the rebel flag on the back, and then I'm sorry, Zach, as a proper Southern gentleman, that's not the rebel flag. What is that?
It's the Union Jack.
No, that's
not the Union Jack.
It's the Southern battle flag. That's what it is.
The stars and the bars.
The battle against Northern aggression. It was
the war of Northern aggression.
Yep, exactly. So, anyways, on his tailgate, he has a vinyl wrap on the back of his tailgate, which shows the. Airplanes going into the first tower of the Twin Towers. And it says in very big letters, "Everything I needed to know about Islam, I learned on 9/11. And apparently, his license plate, people thought his license plate was some sort of code for white racism because it says it's 14CV88. Which,
oh God!
Yeah, I know. I mean, whatever. But apparently, that's because he likes Tony Stewart and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't get it.
Well, Zach, you live in the South. What?
The 14th Amendment.
Maybe. Is that the right to bear arms? No.
That would be the
Second Amendment. The right to organize.
It's popular culture, y'all.
Hate crime.
The 14th Amendment has something to do with the Civil War.
It's not the 14th Amendment.
It was the 16th, wasn't it?
The 14 is apparently a reference to the writings of a white supremacist.
Oh.
Hmm. So this is a feel-good story. No?
No.
Not so much?
Not so much.
Zach, you live in the South, in the heart of the Deep South. Have you ever seen anything this categorically offensive on the back of a truck before?
Yeah.
Yes?
One that said Toyota Tundra.
Oh.
Woman a cougar? I'm looking at her picture right now.
She is terrifying.
Me? Yow. She's got enough forehead to, do something with. I need something witty to say. Let's make this a meme. She's got enough forehead to blank. Craig, go.
To bake bread.
There we go. Michelle.
Spitfire.
Oh, my God.
She's got enough forehead to, oh my God, Eric.
So,
all right, so yeah.
Classy truck.
Yep. It's a rolling hate crime. Nothing? You guys lacking a little energy this week, I'm sensing. Is your blood sugar collectively low?
You know what's interesting? I don't have the link, but I saw something very similar this week, but it was. I mean, and it's patriotism, but it wasn't anti-Islam. That was a Camaro that a guy has completely wrapped in memory of the fallen soldiers in the Middle East.
Oh, I think
right
I saw
now.
That story. It's all red, white, and blue.
I think I wrote that story.
Including the wheels.
How did they do the wheels? Now, that's interesting.
The wheels are just red.
They were like powder-coated something. Like,
Carbs are the enemy. But, yeah. So if you're in the South, keep your eyes peeled for shit like that. Trucks covered in swastikas or whatever. But anyway, it's time to go and take a peek in the garage. I know, right?
Hi. Pew, pew.
Michelle's shooting her guns in the air. All right. Jack, Michelle, you guys both have our In the Garage segment covered this week. What vehicle were you guys in?
I know, only because Jeff didn't get to drive the Aston Martin. See, I mean, this, I'm sorry, Jeff.
Oh, right.
And I'll mark that so I can edit the awkward silence out.
We're not doing too well this week. Well, I guess we don't do that well every week, but, you know. Okay.
Michelle, go.
Talk. Somebody.
Yes, Jack. Jack, hey, you were in the Fiesta with me last week.
I sure as hell was. Oh, yes, I was. Yeah, that was a great time. What are we supposed to talk about? What can we talk about? What are we allowed to talk about?
Well, what can we not talk about, Jack? We did two videos. The first one is embedded in one of my old shows, so we didn't put that up. But it's Jack driving me and going, "Miss Motormouth, close your eyes," as he passed like five journalists at a time. And then I got in the second car and we drove safely.
Oh, really? Because I remember the engineer being quite concerned about your pace.
He was.
What engineer is this?
Did you scare the soil out of him, Michelle?
He was leather seats.
Thank goodness.
Leather in a Fiesta?
He said, "Who's going to pay the ticket for us doing 80 miles an hour?" Oh, yeah, it had great leather seats. It has an upscale interior that has to be seen to be believed.
Jeff, you were at the backgrounder. Come on. Don't be playing dumb here.
I'm just trying to bring up things to talk about. I'm doing your job, Craig.
Ouch.
Trying to initiate conversation.
Oh, okay.
Well, the one that we drove up the hill when Jack was driving was the sedan, and that had leather. And what was the price on that one,
Jack? 18 and a half.
Yeah, it was
18,505, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice.
Okay, so you guys drove these cars a week or so ago, and they were embargoed for last week's episode of Roundabout. How do they drive the U.S. versions? Because this car's been out for a couple of years in Europe. They're bringing it over here to the States. How does it drive?
You want me to field this one, Michelle?
Please.
Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you, Ms. Muttermouth. Well, the engine, I think, is the strongest engine in its class, particularly above 5,000 RPM. And compared to the Honda Fit, it even has a little bit of pull off the line, so that's nice. It really does rush to the red line. It's obviously a variably valve-timed engine. And as far as the dynamic aspects of it go, this is probably the first production Ford I've driven in a long time that had enough brake for the motor, which, you know, we didn't have a lot of motor, but still. We had the drive route probably looked like spaghetti, you know, viewed from above.
Well, you guys were in what, like the North Carolina, Tennessee area?
No, we were in San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of, never mind. Disregard me.
He was thinking of the North Carolina.
We do anyway.
Tree,
it's
not
okay.
The San Francisco tree.
We had a lot of, you know, 90, 95 mile an hour to 35 mile an hour brake zones, and then, you know, a lot of hot entry, a lot of inside rear wheel kind of skimming the ground, and it really took the better part of the drive for me to cook the brakes. Which is not something normally happens in a production car. To give you an example, under similar roads in the Taurus SHO, I had the pedal sitting on the floor after 5 or 6 minutes. So it's got enough brake. It is progressive on turn, and you can't disable the stability control. So you want to be careful and get that wheel straightened on the exit. If you don't have the wheel straight on the exit, you will spin that inside rear or inside front wheel, and the traction control will intervene. I think I said in my article it was less intrusive than Toyota's, but not as good as Williams F1's. So it will cut your throttle a little bit, but it's not like the RSTC, where as soon as it starts buzzing, it simply takes 3 spark plugs out of the car. So you can get a pretty good pace in the car. It will run up to about 100 miles an hour before it starts feeling really breathless. It, you know, it's pretty well balanced. It needed a little more rebound damping a couple times. I think we had the rear wheels off the ground because the damping wasn't good enough. So
you put these cars through the ringer. Quite the aggressive driver, it sounds like.
Well, we didn't have a track available, so you have to do what you can on the road.
But then
you
still have a license?
Limits of safety. I run from the pigs. Actually, the funny thing, Michelle laughed about this. We passed two journalists going up a hill, and I had to clear probably 100 to do it. And we come around the corner, and we're going up the next hill, and I'm kind of struggling for motor because I'm in fourth instead of third. We're not doing any more than 75 miles an hour. Here comes a cop coming down the hill and doesn't even bother. It's really funny. The one time we were within the limit, or you know, near the limit, was the time we got clocked. So just got lucky.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was the only time I got lucky on that reveal, damn it.
That's not the way it sounds, but...
Not for lack of trying, though, right?
So, well...
Is he handsy when he's driving, Michelle?
Some people have standards, is all I can say. Apparently, Miss Motormouth is one of them, but...
He started going through my purse while I was driving and got my phone out and started text messaging and phone calling all my female automotive friends.
Well, if she wouldn't go for it, then maybe some of her friends would.
He's going to find someone with weak standards, I guess, somewhere.
I did. Do you want me to give you a name?
Back on topic.
Stay on target.
Where is it, Ben?
We also autocross the car versus the Fit and the RS.
Okay.
Just to give you some basic, just kind of hard numbers. In the slalom, I was able to do – 52 in the RS and 59 in the Fiesta about the same space of run for acceleration. I barely clipped 50 in the RS and was knocking on the door of 60 in the Fiesta. So this is a car. It's faster than the Fit and much faster than the RS. Around our autocross course, it was the fastest. And the last thing I'll say before I give it to Michelle, who I know has good comments as well, is everybody's talking about the dual clutch gearbox. And Ford is labeling that an automatic for a reason. They're not trying to go after the DSG market. It is not a quick shifter. It slurs the shifts to mimic a torque converter. It's not aggressive up or down. You never get that no flywheel effect that you get with Volkswagen DSG or the M3's DCT or any of that stuff.
This is strictly for efficiency, right?
Strictly for efficiency, and the payoff is 40 miles per gallon on the highway, which is actually better than the Honda CRZ. Wow. And you know, so it's the transmission is efficiency oriented, and people are talking about why aren't there any paddles? Well, the Honda Fit has paddles with their torque converter auto, and I think nobody uses them, and I'm sure Ford looked right at that when they made that decision.
Yep. So okay, real quick, best in class subcompact
at the moment, yes.
Okay, Michelle, what are your thoughts?
You know, I only drove the automatic on the autocross, and I wish that I'd gotten to drive it on the road because I drove the European version several times on the road, and so I knew what the manual was like. I'd love to go ahead and check out the dual clutch on the road because I'm a more practical driver than Jack. I will tell you on the autocross, like I did something like 8 seconds faster in the automatic than I did, but that's just my driving. more than anything.
Would you buy a Fiesta, Michelle?
I would. I mean, inflation-wise, if you consider the fact that I have this stupid practical Kia Spectra sitting in the back, you know, the little sedan. Spectra. For 18.5, I could have 10 times the better driving and better fitted car for the same price that I paid for that Kia in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Fiesta's a sharp car. I drove the European version about a year ago. I mean, it was great. Had the manual, 5-speed manual, and can't complain. So with that, I think we
could. I'm sorry. Could I? I'm
interrupt me now.
I'm done.
Quiet for the past. You've been texting for the past 10 minutes, pulling an auto extremist, and now you're gonna.
Yes, exactly.
On your BlackBerry.
So I've been trading some emails with a friend of mine in the UK, and we were talking about the Fiesta and talking about some of the diesel stuff that you can get in the UK and throughout the EU, and about how Ford.
You mean 78 miles per gallon? Yeah.
Yeah. So. Joe Simpson, who really good guy, he was talking about he's driven it a few times, and real world UK mileage is 55 with the diesel. So that
that's imperial gallons; they're bigger.
Yeah, but it's still. He says if you drive, most people would get mid 60s.
here?
No. Mid-60s UK, okay. which still translates to low 50, yeah. 51, 52. And not only that, but it is environmentally friendly because it's only 107 grams of CO2 per 100K. So not only is it frugal with fuel, it's also friendly.
Kind to your lungs.
Yes, exactly. So, and he makes a good point here. He said, I'm quoting from his email here. So he says, so yes, in my opinion, it's a continued shame that Ford and others don't see the appeal of diesels in the U.S. The characteristics are perfect for how and where you guys drive typically. The diesel Fiesta is just pretty good because the car itself is so impressive. As far as engines goes, Ford is still quite poor. I've used the EU spec Fiat Punto with the 1.3 turbo diesel engine. And it's he talked about it was a lot better because it's about 100 horsepower. It's a 16 valve and would cruise quietly at 100 miles an hour. But the Ford engine is only two valves, so it's old tech, but yet it still does quite well. So, but yeah, so we can't.
How much heavier was this one than the European one, Jack? Do you remember?
I think we determined that equipment adjusted. It was about 190 pounds.
So that's one fat guy greater than the European version.
Right. Don't put your dad in the back seat.
Can I sneak
in
here?
Why is 190 fat?
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
It's insulting because it's more than
because you're talking about Craig. That's why I said 190 is fat because it's like Craig's dad. Get it? 190.
No.
Like normal weight.
Just jump in, Jack. Just go for it.
Yeah. I was saying about that comment about the diesel. I think that's the 100th time in my life I've heard somebody say, "Wouldn't it be great if we could have small car diesels?" And it just drives me nuts. Nowhere in the world where diesel is not tax advantaged do small car diesels have any traction whatsoever.
The UK doesn't have tax advantage diesel fuel.
They do. Well, keep in mind, most UK drivers are on a company car scheme, and UK company car drivers are taxed on CO2 emissions. They're taxed on a percentage of the vehicle's price every year based on CO2 emissions. So they have a huge incentive for non-private owners to take the diesel. But beyond that, the diesel engines are much more expensive, which is the kind of – we would see it in the U.S. because we don't pay a VAT until – we will eventually, but we're not paying it now. The diesel engines are hugely expensive. They're extremely expensive to service. They're troublesome, and not only are – you know, whatever you think about the potential impact of carbon dioxide, the real-world effect of both particulates and the various methods we need to do to get rid of them are well-documented. I mean, the EPA doesn't want – diesel, or the CARB doesn't want diesels in California, and I don't blame them. I mean – the only thing anybody can ever say about a diesel is it gets greater mileage with a fuel that is more power dense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, has more torque because it's a turbo. Well, what Ford is about to show us is you can make a turbo gas motor, a turbo FSI gas motor, and obtain nearly equal mileage when you adjust for density. And there's just no need to have these big, heavy, chuggy diesel motors in the cars. And it's just one of these things where people who live, you know, people assume it's because they're doing it in Europe, it's better. And I was in Germany a while ago. I drove diesel and gas versions of various cars, and I was never convinced. But thus endeth the piss and moan.
The morning moan. And I think with that, we can finally wrap things up for this week.
That means you killed it, Jack.
Knocked it out of the park.
No, Jack. He killed it. Like dead.
Like a stillborn. Just,
damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a journalist.
Before we wrap things up this week, we're starting a brand new segment.
Roeb calling.
Go away, we don't want none.
Unsolicited car advice is our way of giving back by helping people in the market for a new vehicle pick the one that's best for them. So, joining us on the line right now is a very special guest. We've got Jessica Gottlieb, a wife, writer, mother, and friend. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're glad you could make it. And I understand you are friends with Michelle?
I am. We've been on a few. We meet at car events, it seems like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's you're both into the blogging then?
We are.
All right. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself? What do you blog about? What do you do for fun? And what are you looking for?
You know, what do I do for fun? I test drive cars with Michelle. I guess I'm a lifestyle blogger. Probably last week I would have told you I was a mom blogger, but it's such a cesspool that I'm going to have to find a new name. I've been in this kind of tech community building space for about 11 years, and I love it because when else would I like sit on Skype and talk to guys like you? Like, it's so great to have broader horizons.
She really hasn't listened to the show.
Craig's blushing because he's never broadened any woman's horizon.
That's payback.
And I just bought a car, and well, we have to get another car.
Okay. So what car did you get, first of all? What did you pick up?
I got a Lexus HS250.
Oh, that's great.
And are you happy with that purchase?
I am not happy with that purchase.
All right.
A POS. But wait a second. Actually, I am happy with that purchase, and I'll tell you why. Because, like, everybody knows that Toyota is in the middle of serious cooking right now. They are cooking their books in ways we have never seen before.
They're like, they've got them in a crock pot, and they're just slow roasting.
They do, and I am part of that slow simmer, and it is the cheapest car that I've bought as an adult. So, as far as that goes, I'm happy. However, I think I got exactly what I paid for.
A Corolla or a fancy Prius?
No. You know, my stepmother has a Prius. It's actually, the Prius is much nicer.
Oh, my gosh. I've driven the HS, and, I mean, it was a Lexus, you know, very nice inside, but just... It's something odd
it's
about it.
It's not actually very nice inside. It's really, really bad. It's like everything, like it has like the little USB thing, and it has it on the dashboard instead of hidden. So mm-hmm. You can't actually leave your iPod in the car. You have to take it out every time. You cannot use the Bluetooth while the car is moving. You have to be stopped. So if you start dialing at a red light, you just have to like... let the light be green and finish dialing, or you can't actually drive and talk on the phone on the Bluetooth that's supposed to make it safer so you don't use your phone.
Brilliant.
Like, everything about the user experience is flawed. It's a big f*** you of a car.
Yay, I like this Jessica Michelle.
That's right, I like this girl already.
Zach, you've met your match.
I have.
But again, it's really, really cheap, and it had good crash ratings.
Okay.
So,
what kind of fuel economy have you been getting with it? Has it been as good as the sticker? Better, worse?
Not as good as the sticker. I mean, you know, I'm kind of a weird driver because, like, I also have a BMW, a 3 Series, and I get better economy than the sticker gives you because I'm not, like, a super heavy foot around town. You know, like, for daily life, I'm just not, you know, if I'm having fun, you know, of course. But this one's getting me about 31 miles a gallon, and that's really nice. And it's 87 gas that I'm putting in it, so it's really, really the cost of ownership was just perfect for me.
Okay.
Well, and Jessica, didn't you tell me that you wanted to get a Ford Focus? I mean, a Fusion Hybrid, and
I did. I really preferred that car to this one, but it was $200 a month more.
The Ford was more than the Lexus. Now that is hard to believe.
So, to lease.
Yeah, for a lease. I never ever want to know my mechanic. I'm a strict leaser. Okay. My experience with the car ends the day the warranty ends. No,
never buy a depreciating asset.
Oh, I think that actually fiscally it might be smarter to get a car that's a year or two old. Like buying my cars when I'm done with the leases is probably a brilliant fiscal decision, but I made a lifestyle decision where I'm just like, you know what? I can, and so I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that the money's that different. I just, like, really, really don't want to, like, I haven't had to buy a tire in a lot of years. And that's a really nice place to be in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, enough about the Lexus HS. You said you were in the market for another vehicle, a second car, yeah. I assume. What are you looking for? What do you have any rough idea? What do you want to spend on it? What's going on there?
And is it for you or is it for somebody else?
It's for my husband, so it would be his daily car, and it would be our family weekend car. Our budget needs to be in the five figures, and it should be the opposite of what I just bought.
That gives you a lot of options, definitely.
I do have a lot of options. The thing is, you know, like we've driven a bunch of cars, and like GM's just been terrific. We drove the CTS-V, and
very nice choice.
Oh my God, I love that car, and every reason that I loved it, my husband didn't.
Hmm.
And what? Is that funny? Like, and I drove the Porsche Panamera, which is actually on the other side that gives us the figures. But everything I love about these, like, really rumbly, yummy cars, my husband's like, it's too loud. He just wants fast and quiet and luxurious.
Here, all right, here you go. Audi R8 V8. Pocket some, you know, pocket the difference. You're all set. Screw the family. They can walk. So thanks. Problem solved, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, sure.
When you say family, is it...
What's the R8? Is that a two-seater?
Yes.
And it's awesome.
I fit my friend Megan in the trunk of it, though, so it could be a three-seater.
In the
I put
front?
Kids in the back of my Z3 all the time.
Oh, no. And, okay, so here's the thing, though. Michelle, you've seen my car, right? My car's disgusting. It has to have a big enough back seat that my kids, that there aren't footprints all over the back of the car. That was the other reason that I really liked the Lexus, was because the back of the seats are black. So my son cannot have gross black footprints all over the back of the car. I mean, he still will, but nobody will see them.
How many children, Jessica, have to fit in this?
Just two.
Okay.
But they're not babies.
So are they teenagers or preteens?
Well, they will be by the time the car's done.
Okay. How about...
You know, 11, let alone 11, it's a 911.
How about an Audi A8? Or an S8.
Exactly.
She couldn't get a drive. And didn't you try to get a drive and they told you that there weren't any in California, Jessica?
That was, yeah. And they told me that they needed to talk to my husband first.
What?
Ouch.
And mind you, Jessica used to sell cars, you guys. I mean, she's not stupid about this.
So I'm sorry.
Well, I am stupid about cars, but I'm not stupid about buying them.
I'm sorry, what's the price range here again?
We have to stay in five figures.
Okay.
And you want to go brand new or slightly used?
Brand new. I want a 3-year lease.
What about an M5?
Well, this would work on a lease because they're running deals right now, sort of. I have two choices, both the same company. The Maserati Gran Turismo or the Maserati Quadriporte. They're both very, very stylish. They are have good power, handle well. Are quiet if you want it, but if you want it to make noise, it'll make noise. And you can
wait a second. There's Maseratis that are under $100,000.
Well, if you're going to lease it, they're running lease specials for under $1,100 a month right now.
Shut up! Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think you found something she likes, Eric.
I'm was on a key their thing. Website right now. Wait, I have to mute them. I'm so sorry.
So, Eric, here's my question. When were you looking into leasing a Maserati?
I am on a Maserati mailing. I'm on the Maserati mailing list.
And tell me about this third job you've picked up.
He's dealing on the side, I think.
And shipping video cameras all over the world.
Yeah, Jessica, you may want to look at what the per mile penalty
is. I'm like lost. I'm in Maserati land. I'm sorry.
I think the last time I got pitched one, it was 38 cents a mile over 10,000.
Yeah, that's about what I think ours are, too, right now.
Would your husband want to drive a manual transmission, or is that out of the question? Because I would recommend an M3 would be a lot of fun with a manual.
I think that he was open to that, and the M's were a car that we had looked at.
Okay.
And you, if you're in, they do have a four-door M, but not for much longer.
That's right. They're going to.
What about the Jaguar XFR?
Oh, okay. That's a good choice. Although it is a Jaguar.
Actually, the new XJ.
But I mean, if you're gonna lease a car, what's better than a British car to lease? I mean, you don't have to worry about them breaking down.
Right.
Although I learned my lesson with Aston Martin, so.
Yeah, those airbag sensors.
What happened with the airbag sensors?
I was supposed to drive a DBS Carbon Black, which is a super awesome looking car, $300,000, so slightly out of your price range. I'm halfway down to Miami, and the Aston Martin lady calls me up and says, oh, the airbag's busted. We can't have you drive it. And I wanted to punch something so bad.
So you punched the airbag and it went off?
I was driving a Dodge Charger, so I could have punched the airbag. It was big enough.
I want to drive an Aston Martin.
The cool thing about the Jag XJ, the new one, is that it has a Bowers & Wilkins stereo system in it, and it sounds
isn't like explicit and deleted awesome.
What about how about this, guys? An E-Class AMG. What is it, the E63 AMG? Is that in the price range? I'm not familiar.
The AMG is not, is it? Well, you guys, I had a really interesting time test driving Mercedes also. It's funny you should mention it.
Go on, sweetheart.
The same family of dealers as the Audi dealer. Yes. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. The guy kept calling me my love and sweetheart and honey. I almost want to buy a Mercedes, like, just so I can drive past there and, like, just go, F you. I bought it
from the other dealer, right?
From any other dealer. Like, I wouldn't even care who it was. He was so revolting. I don't have words. And this is a big problem, and I'm not sure, like, because the car culture has always been a little bit like that, but it seems like with this one sort of dealership that it's a little bit worse. And that's my local dealer.
Well, I'm looking on the media site, the Mercedes-Benz media site, and it looks like you can get an E63 AMG. It looks like the starting price is about $86,000. That'd be a reasonably roomy sedan. Lots of power, terrific sounding engine, fun car.
They're always pushing the German cars.
Well, what would you recommend?
Maybe you should just give your husband the Lexus and just get the CTS-V and be happy. You know?
The Chrysler 300 SRT8.
Nah, I said she wants to be happy.
Do they still make those?
Or the Jeep SRT8.
Well, there's nothing really that great from Lexus or Acura. Not in this category that she's looking, I don't think. Because you could get the Lexus LS. It's a great luxury car, but it's not really all that much fun, you know?
Yeah, my husband really doesn't enjoy this. You know what? He's on his third 5 Series BMW, and I have a really bad feeling that we're going to be on our fourth. It's just such a nice
You can just
drive.
Compromise and get the M5, and problem solved.
Nice V10?
That's right, V10.
You know, none of you guys would have cut it in the car sales business. A good car salesman asks questions instead of just making random suggestions.
Oh, that's why we don't sell cars, Jack. Yes.
Jack, what would you ask?
We're opinionists.
Scott Lee, I'm a professional racer, and I'm here to help you.
First question is, where's your husband?
The most important part of enjoying a new automobile is seat fitment, so... Would you mind describing what you look like topless?
No.
Are you work at a Chevy dealership?
He's talking about his days from when he sold Mustangs in the 90s.
You thought you felt dirty after the Mercedes guy.
Well. I didn't call her honey.
God, and I'm not trapped in a car with you.
Not yet.
Oh, no, that's my job.
Actually, it's usually a van, but yeah.
Can I get some help
Am
with this
I
couch?
Am I with the crazy Ford driving guy?
Yes.
The one and only.
This is the one I did the Fiesta video with, Jessica.
What would happen on those Ford test drives if you just, totaled the car? Because it looked like you were about to.
Well, I hope you mean Michelle, because I always have total control of the automobile. But
yeah, are you talking about the one where I was driving or the one where he was driving? Because if it was the one where I was driving, we were perfectly safe.
It seemed fine with you driving, Michelle, but it was a little fast.
Not gonna lie.
Michelle likes to run.
You can ask the journalist who killed a family during a manufacturer of press drive in Spain.
You killed a family, Jack?
I didn't, but it was done by a print journal.
Oy, that's
yeah, and you know what they did to him? Nothing.
Gave him the car?
Still working. It's just it's strictly rumor. The name
it was
I would
probably
not...
Nate Chipnick.
What?
Way to go. Way to go, Jeff. Put that out there.
That was my Mustang friend.
So I have an S5 for sale. Sorry, we're doing another 1,000 horsepower dyno run here at Schweitzer Performance, home of the nonstop 1,000 horsepower 911s. Sorry, please continue. But you're not going to edit that out, are you?
Probably not.
No, that would take effort on Ben's part, and he has precious little of that come the weekend. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jessica, do you have any of these choices piqued your interest besides the Maserati? You know, that's a good choice for you.
Yeah, I'm actually literally on the Maserati site right now. I'm sorry. It never dawned on me that we could afford that car.
You think in the Quattroporte? I mean, Eric, you were the one that suggested it. You think Quattroporte?
Yeah. Well, it's four doors, so it's makes it easy for in and out of the back seat for the children. And plenty of room back there. One of the gas station owners down the street happens to have one, and I've stopped in to look at it once or twice. And it's a beautiful car. Sounds absolutely exquisite going down the road. And if you can, I'm also on the Maserati site, and I'm looking to find the where they run the lease special stuff on here, and I can't find it. But they're always running lease specials on these cars, so.
Make sure you get the automatic, because the Duo Select transmission tends to drop out every 4,000 or 5,000 miles.
And I'm imagining that that's not inexpensive.
Well, it'd be under warranty.
But it's free for you, but based on the experiences of people I race with who have them, it takes the car out of service for a month.
You're kidding.
But then you get a rental.
You get a Sebring.
Probably a Lexus
HS. You're trying to get the new Chrysler Nassau.
Yeah.
And then you'll really appreciate your Maserati.
Absolutely.
No, I bet Maserati dealerships have Lexuses for their rental cars.
Oh.
You might have twins.
Yep.
Oh.
Jessica, if you sign up for the Maserati monthly email thing here, that's where you'll see that when they're running the specials on them.
I think I threw this other option out a little earlier, but what about the new Audi A8? Now, that's not like a performance machine, but it's got the aluminum, space frame. It's a light car. Should get a little bit better fuel economy than some of the other competitors. It's loaded with tech. It's a great-looking body. I mean, seems like a win-win to me. You can get an extended long version of it with, like, reclining back seats and little tray tables you can ride on.
It looks even better with Lucy Liu standing next to it.
Yes, it does.
The residuals are miserable. Wait till you find out what it costs to lease one.
Oh, really?
$2,100 a month.
For an Audi?
That's cheap.
Yeah, for an A8. 3 years, nothing down. $2,100. If it's not exactly $2,100, it'll be real close to it.
Oops.
Wow. Wait, an Audi?
Yeah.
That's absurd. Because you're going to get into like a BMW 550 for like probably $800 or $900 if you have good credit.
Well, the A8's a bigger, better car.
Yeah, it's like the 7 Series size.
Is it three times as good as a V8 BMW?
It's four times as good. So it's really a bargain.
Fourfold.
Yeah, fourfold. I call bullshit.
The residuals are just lousy. I wouldn't lease. I mean, leasing an Audi is tough. It'd always be cheaper to get the Bemmer. My local Bemmer dealer has that whale-tastic new 7 Series for $999.
And that's a damn nice car, too. The new 7.
All right, the Quattroporte, they're not running a special on it right now, so the lease price is out of reach. So
I'm saying XFR.
You
I mean,
tease.
It's an older car.
I'm just saying I saw something 2 months ago. But now it's like $1,800.
Because usually with a lease, you want to go for a little bit older of a design. Because the new stuff, they're not going to have great lease incentives on it. So I would still go with the XFR. It's an older design, a couple years old.
It's 1 or 2 years old, yeah. You can get the XFR, the high performance.
You want a Maserati? I think we should have married a rich old man. 1 foot
that's
in the grave.
That's what my wife says all the time.
All right, so Jeff, you vote for the XFR. Eric suggested Maserati. I'm going to say BMW M3 for a nice, small, light, fun car. Michelle, you've been quiet. What do you think? Maybe a Porsche Boxster or something?
Now, I have looked at every single car probably on the planet with Jessica, so I'm going to stay out of this one because I know what she said about – I mean, we did the LA Auto Show together.
Okay.
I mean, Jessica, you want to tell them what you thought about the Porsche Spyder?
Oh, I was wondering where the rest of it was. oh, my God, you guys. I can say anything on Ustream. So we're standing there, and they do the reveal, and they pull it off the thing, like, very dramatically off of the Boxster. And this crusty old reporter goes, yeah, where do you keep your tampons with that? Oh, my God.
So I think the Porsche's out then.
Well, I mean, for a girl. I guess. Yeah. But, well, and it didn't even have door handles or air conditioning. But I absolutely adore that Panamera. But again,
you and Joel Federer.
Nobody else likes it. Have you guys driven it?
It very sucks. Briefly.
I like
drove
it.
The turbo.
I drove the 4S.
And you thought it sucked?
I didn't. Jack did.
How I got three laps out of the brakes at Road America, and then we were done.
It's $12,000.
Yeah, no kidding.
What about save a whole bunch of money, get the new Taurus show?
No.
Don't think that's going to happen.
I've driven it. It's fine, but it's not anything special.
Okay, just throwing that out there, just saying, you know.
I like Ford, but I couldn't afford them for my other car, remember? They're really, really expensive on leases.
Hmm. Okay.
If you can do that, you might as well buy the Genesis, or you might as well get the Genesis V8 sedan. It's a better car.
Oh, my God. You guys, I love that car. The Hyundai?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Honey Genesis sedan. Yeah.
Yeah, she called me and she said, oh, my God, this is as good as a BMW 5 Series.
That car is really, really great. I'm sure it's, I mean, it's not super fast, but that car is so, it's like they built it like thinking about you actually driving it, which is really nice for a change instead of kind of having weird stuff. But I just loved it. But I just don't think that my husband's going to go for that. So I'm working
on it. Or you can wait for the Equus, or the Equus, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Equus.
I don't like two vowels next to each other. Hawaii scares the crap out of me.
You're a proper American, that's why.
American is what
you
are.
Give me meat
American.
Potatoes and lots of consonants.
And your American Spirit cigarettes with a Budweiser.
You know, there's a book and a movie called Equus, and it's about this poor young adolescent that has a mental disorder and thinks that he's a horse.
That's the one where the Harry Potter kid goes full nude.
Yes.
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 Is it on Audible?
I'm excited about that.
Jack saw it three times.
I just wanted to see how I measured up.
But again, I vote for the M3, Jessica. Zach, what did you vote for here?
I'm going to say just keep leaning on your husband and get the CTSV. You know?
Another good
why not?
Choice. I like that car.
He was complaining it was too loud?
He needs to get punched in the nads.
Provided he has any. I mean, come on.
It's a loud car.
Well, that's fine. He doesn't have to ride in it. He's got the Lexus, right?
Stick a pillow under the hood.
Yeah.
Or over his face. Either way.
Radio up.
Just take out the life insurance first. And Jack, what was your? Did you have any choice you were gunning
for?
I'm gonna
vote for the CTSV, followed by a discreet affair with the driver who made it famous on the Speed TV show CTSV Challenge.
I will second that. I will second that absolutely.
Well, that's terrific, guys. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and for the first ever installment of the Roundabout Unsolicited Car Advice. You are a groundbreaker.
Jessica, what's her website, Craig?
It's jessicagottlieb.com, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I got it right. But before we let you go, Jessica, we've got to do one more thing, and that is our roundabout exit interview. So, got a couple questions here for you. Number one. Overall, how satisfied were you with the preceding roundabout interview? A, satisfied. B, somewhat satisfied. C, very satisfied. Or D, completely satisfied?
I'll go completely satisfied.
Good choice. Number two.
Again, that's my something Craig's choice. Never heard from a woman.
I didn't even have to say
funny.
It.
That is
funny right there. Number two. How likely are you to recommend the Roundabout podcast to your friends and family? A, likely. B, somewhat likely. C, very likely. Or D, they already subscribe.
Oh, they already subscribe.
Oh, I like you more and more, Jessica. Number three, true or false? I would return as a guest on the Roundabout podcast.
True.
Sweet. Number four, true or false?
Craig's like, second date.
Question number four. True or false? Michelle Narano is a lesbian.
False.
Damn you, Jessica.
Go ahead.
You're ruining my reputation.
Jack already ruined it.
I confirmed she was a lesbian. What are you talking about?
She resisted your come.
Good friends with Suzanne Denbo.
All right. True or false? How did you get on the Dr. Phil show?
False. Which time?
False. That's not a true or false question.
Oh. Whoops. Wrong section for that one. Okay, question number 6. Have you ever had to ask someone what gender they are?
Actually.
And her name was Craig.
That person working at Subway that time, right? And lastly, Zach confided in us that he wanted to call you honey and sweetheart, but he resisted the urge. How does that make you feel?
Did not but, resist
But only because I'm a proper Southern gentleman, and that just comes with the breeding. You just can't help it.
The inbreeding,
it
you mean.
It comes with the breeding.
It's Zach's a feminist, he told me. So it must be true.
It's the narrow bloodline. What? Jessica Gottlieb, thank you for putting up with us, or rather, joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I hope we haven't horribly offended you in any way.
Will she ever speak to me again is the big question.
Oh, you bet I will.
Oh, my God, I'm scared.
All right, you guys, I'm going to log
Jessica,
off here.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Jessica.
You again.
Thanks, Jessica. JessicaGottlieb.com.
Yep. Jessica Gottlieb. Thank you, sweetie, for joining us. Jack Baruth, Speed Sport Life in some tuner place. Thank you so much for joining us.
Schweitzer, for performanceinnovation.com. Thank you.
Working on 100-horsepower Porsches, Nissan Sentras or something. Thank you for joining us.
We're going to tune the Nissan Leaf, see if we don't.
Well, yeah. Okay.
You've turned Craig speechless. My God, finally.
Stay on target. We're too close. Stay on target.
Michelle Naranjo.
Yes, sir.
MissMotormouth.com. As always, thank you for joining us. You're just a real treat. You know that?
No, I'm a luxury, darling.
You're like that extra gravy you get at Thanksgiving. I guess. Eric Tritko. Rumblestrip.net, Rumblestrip on Twitter.
And blog.webridestv.com.
Thank you for joining us, as always. Zach Bowman.
Yes, sir.
From thebowmanreport.org.
That's right.
And that other site, the big one. What's it? Autoblog.
At autoblog.com. You can maybe one of these days, hooniverse.com. And, of course, on Twitter, Z_Bowman.
Awesome. And last but certainly not least, Jeffrey Ross. What's up?
Not much.
You meant to say thank you for joining us.
Yes. Autotropolis.com. You got any great stuff coming out?
Nope. I was counting on the DBS that fell through.
Damn it.
And
Aston Martin's like getting food at the drive-through.
A big old sack of disappointment.
Yeah, exactly.
Sack full of disappointment. But Jeff, thank you as always.
It was great being here as usual.
I doubt it. Anyway, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. And please call us on our Google Voice number. It's number 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, that's 559-ROAB-411. Leave us a message, leave us hate mail, whatever you want. Just
what is that? If I don't have letters on my phone, Craig, what do I know to dial?
You dial 559.
Yeah, if you have a BlackBerry. You don't have those.
559-762-2411. Again, 559-762-2411. Also, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And subscribe to the podcast in the iTunes Store or on the Zune Marketplace with me. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
AudiblePodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
You know, I talked all that crap about Aston Martin and they just friended me on Twitter.
Does that mean they actually listen?
Oh, man.
Kitchen Confidential. It's our pick of the week, Eric's pick of the week. And it's a $21 value. You can get it for free if you go to audible.com/roundaboutshow. Try it. audibly pop. What the hell's going on?
Somebody's burrowing into their microphone.
Yeah, someone's wrestling.
I'm going to take that again.
Michelle, do you have a gentleman caller? Are you quarreling?
I told you I did. I could talk about Chevy tacos.
Save it.
All right. Can I finish?
Sorry, I didn't have that ready.
All right.
I still got this one.
Oh, yeah.
You fettered it again.